Hi, and welcome to the Chat TCG podcast. I am Paula Sabaga, financial advisor on the TCG and Associates team at UBS Financial Services in Columbia, South Carolina. I can be reached at 803-873-9828. Today on the podcast, we're joined by Lori Lapine, owner of Strong Foundations Gym in Columbia, South Carolina. She is not affiliated with UBS Financial Services, and her views are her own. All right. Good afternoon, Lori.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being here for the podcast. I'm so excited to have you with us.
This is going to be great. Yes. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So you've built such a strong presence here in Columbia with your gym and your fitness industry. So how has your journey led you here where you are now?
Gosh, you know, it really kind of all started when I was, I mean, not that I remember this, but my mom and I discussed this all the time that when I was little, I used to hate to go outside. And I know, shocking.
I find that hard to believe.
Shocking. I hated to go outside, and I always complained and whined that my feet hurt. And so my mom, who hurt her back in the very early years picking me up out of a swing, was instructed by her orthopedic surgeon back then, which was, 54 years ago. And she had to walk 4 miles every day.
Oh, wow.
And so she would do it incremental throughout whenever she could fit it in. And so from early on, it was just what we did. She would put me in the stroller or I would walk, and she would just like make me get out of my stroller and walk. And So people literally would stop us and go, back then people weren't walking like that for fitness. So they would stop us and say, do y'all need a ride? They thought we were didn't have a car.
Right.
And we're like, no, we're just out here getting movement. And I really think that it was always just a part of my life, movement. And so I think that I realized taking that negative into a positive of how I felt and my legs hurt.
Right.
And my mom just kept pushing me through it. And it always just was instilled in me how important movement was.
Wow. I had no idea. That's a great story.
Yeah.
So if someone were writing about the early chapters of your story, in addition to that story you just told, what else would they have to include in your early chapters of getting started?
I did everything. It wasn't one thing. I mean, I dabbled in the early part of my career. I really knew when I went to the University of Georgia, I majored in exercise science. Back then, I always say back then because it was a long time. I've been doing this for 40 years. But, exercise science and a lot of the health-related degrees weren't even, I could have been a PE teacher, really seriously. So I really knew that I wanted to, I didn't know exactly what it was called, but I wanted to go into corporations and go into and do wellness. I wanted to get people fit. Early on, I just knew. And so I think when I did that and got out of college and I was doing a lot of wellness, a lot of stuff that I've kind of evolved how I am now, but in the early years, I was doing a lot of kids' fitness and athletic birthday parties for kids, and I was doing everything. So, I don't know. It just started at a young age, and I just kind of knew I just wanted to
keep moving. Right. That's awesome. My son right now wants a soccer birthday party.
So I used to do those.
Yeah. With all the goals, like little stations. Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, I keep thinking I want to go back to that. I'm like, wait, Lori, no, you do not need to do that now.
Yeah.
But it is. It's so fun. Yeah.
What is a defining moment, thinking back on your career or personal life, that changed your direction?
When I was 35, just had my third son, and I one day was perfectly fine, and the next day I went to get him out of his crib, and I couldn't pick him up. And I didn't know right then. It took a long time to get diagnosed, but I got rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, no.
And so here I am, 35 years old. Very healthy, very fit, obviously, but just 6 weeks postpartum, it came on so quick.
Oh my gosh.
I think that was getting something like that, realizing, you know what? I always thought I was living a healthy lifestyle, which I really was in retrospect. I mean, autoimmune is very, back then or when I got it, I thought it was such an old person's disease.
Right.
But to understanding it and realizing my age that I got it and being a female, even an athletic female, it was right. very, very common. And so it kind of really shaped a lot of how I moved and moved forward in my business personally and professionally.
Right.
So I've really been able to help a lot of people with autoimmune disease. And
yeah, just sharing your story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they know they're not the only one.
Right. Right.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
I know over your career, you've probably had a lot of mentors and special people that have helped you in different ways. Who are some of your favorite mentors that have shaped your approach? And then how do you pay that forward today?
I think my big mentor, of course, is personal because it was my dad. He was such a huge source in my life as far as work ethic, was so incredibly supportive. And so when I went to him and wanting to start my own business and open up my own gym, he, of course, was very forthcoming and gave me the money. And it wasn't a borrow. It wasn't to give. It was like borrowed. And I paid every penny back and he took every penny back.
Wow.
But I think he was big because I think in this field or any, you know, I've seen just being a female in business or really being having that consistently long-term success, it's more than just, you know, there's a lot of great professionals in my industry, but I think the consistency and, you know, having the passion. So I knew I had the passion, I knew what I wanted to do, and I had the support, and I never ever thought I couldn't do it.
So how do you pay that forward today? Do you have younger women at the gym?
Or yeah, I do. I do. You know, I wish there was more younger people getting into this field. I think it's a wonderful field to be in. I think it's very rewarding. You can help a lot of people. And financially wise, I mean, like anything, you know, you can make a good living, but it takes years to build a book.
Right.
It takes years. You know, I think you get better as time goes on because just more experience.
Right.
And I think having, we have my company, we just have hired a couple of new young trainers coming in. They're males. We do have two females and they love it. And some of them were athletes in school or they were collegiate, you know, right. athletes or just played in high school. And they really coming in as the same passion for movement and helping others.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I can see that your passion for keeping fit and sharing that with other people, like the little things that they can do.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. And you're really known for someone who moves the needle in our community. So what drives that passion? I know you shared a little bit about your mom's influence at a young age, but still, what keeps you going now with the passion?
You know, it's forever changing. We're always changing. You know, what I used to do and what my body used to do, just not physically, mentally. And I think it's really important for people to see it's not just one way to, you know, if you want to age gracefully, everyone's going to age. But I feel like there's so many things and it really, your lifestyle really dictates how you're going to live your life. And so I think by always motivating and being creative with my work and kind of thinking outside the box, because there's a lot of places to go for fitness.
There are
a lot of, not just in Columbia, but all over. But the key is being consistent with it and having that accountability, you know, as a coach. That's where the true success comes, I believe, with your, you know, in the relationship you have with your clients.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great. To me, it reminds me of younger people thinking they don't need to save for retirement because I'll do that when I'm older. And to me, like being healthy or having these activities, like eating healthy, well, I'll do that when I'm older. But it all stems from when you're young and make these
Absolutely.
Routines.
And so, I tell people, I'm like, you know what? Even like, it's not what you say as a parent, it's what they see. And ironically, I mean, I raised three active, they played soccer full time. But you know what? My boys, even, and they're all in their 20s now. And there were years where I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't make a difference. They're going to just do their own thing. They usually eat before they come home, you know, right. That kind of thing. And I think that what I have found, if I laid the foundation down early, and I think parents need to understand that it's a process, but it's what they see in the household. And, you know, it amazes me. I think that I try to tell my younger people that come in, it's not just the workout you do at the gym. It's really teaching them skills so they have tools to help them long term for their whole life. Because it's a discipline, not just, you know, working out so you can eat more or working out. There's so many things there, mentally, physically. It helps with just staying focused, especially for young kids that have attention deficit disorder. I mean, there's so many things. So I think that, I don't know, I it's just got to be a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's got to be part of your lifestyle.
And I think I saw something you posted about what's a habit that you take with you. Or I love that when you're kind of traveling or not doing your normal routine.
Yeah.
Like things that you can do.
Yeah, little
no
things.
Matter where you are.
And I always tell people, it's the small things that add up. So, you know, people are so hard on themselves and they feel like, well, if I don't go to the gym for an hour, forget it, I don't have time. So a little goes a long way.
Right.
Making little subtle changes have really been big results, you know. So I think changing your mindset, having the right mindset about it. But when you really look at it as like, you know, I want to wake up and have energy. I want to be pain-free. And I want to, another thing I say is what you're doing in your decade that you're in, you're setting yourself up for the next decade. So it's cumulative.
That's so true.
You know?
Right. So you've been here in Columbia your whole life, right?
I really have. I went to University of Georgia and I left for college. And then after college, I moved to Atlanta and got right into the fitness business. So I've really only been back to Columbia for the last 28 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you love about our Columbia community?
You know, I never thought I would end up here. I really
right.
didn't. I mean, but I will tell you that being a business owner and the connections, it's a family.
Yes.
I think the family unit, I think that living in a smaller type community, I always feel like if you can have the means to go experience life and travel and do other things, it's a wonderful home base. It's been a great place to raise my kids. And I mean, I love my clients. I love the people. I think it's a community.
Right.
Yeah. It's if you embrace it, you know, it's a suitcase city. So people are in
right.
and out, in and out. But I think that's great. I think that you can go and experience and it's affordable.
Right. And the fact that we have the university in Fort Jackson, I feel like even though we are a smaller city, that kind of gives it a bigger city feel.
Oh, yeah.
We've got.
Oh, yeah. Well, and there's a lot of diversity. There's a lot of diversity. And I think that it's only getting better and changing. It, you know, and I also feel like it's what you put into it, you know? I think when you travel now and when you go to these really hectic, and life is hectic.
Yeah.
I mean, traveling is not what it used to be.
No.
So sometimes I'm like, God, thank God I have my home base that keeps me grounded and keeps me sane.
Yeah.
But then you can experience outside
like
of it.
We just went to Miami and getting through the airport, getting transportation to the hotel, then to a concert. Like by the time you get there, I mean, that's been a workout.
I know. I always say like, man, you really have to stay in shape to travel.
You do, but it's so nice to come home. And I
yes.
agree, Columbia is a great place to come home to.
Yeah.
You feel like you can finally like rest.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I know you travel a lot with some causes that are very close to your heart.
So
can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I turn a lot of my causes things are usually associated with some kind of movement and fitness, but about 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, someone brought to my attention about this organization called Cure Search. It's called The Ultimate Hike. And they basically told me this because it's hiking and I'm an avid hiker. But then more I looked into it, it is one of the greatest things I've done in my career. So basically, we raise funds for childhood cancer, but more so than just childhood cancer, the treatments that these kids get and these trials are so crucial. And you don't really think about all that when but a lot of kids, most of the kids get the same medications and the treatments that adults get. And that's why there's so many side effects.
Right.
So this organization's national. And we hike all over the country. So part of it is that I was able to early on form teams through my business. So I've taken a lot of people on these hikes, and they're all anywhere from 20 to 25 miles.
Wow.
And you do it in one day. And we train. You know, I laugh because I'm like, God, I've gotten so many friends from this.
Yeah.
But I've lost a lot of friends, too.
Right.
They don't come back. They're like, I am never hiking with her again. But it's been wonderful. And we've raised a lot of money. And a lot of really great things are happening. So
that's wonderful. I know one of the ones you just went to, I believe, was out west.
Yeah, I just took a team out to, in Jackson Hole. And then last June, we just came back from Muir Woods up in San Francisco, which was beautiful.
Yeah.
And that was a really successful hike. It was great. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. So if you had your way and you could wave your magic wand and change one thing about how people engage with the community, what would it be?
Let's see.
In a perfect world.
I feel like there needs to be more access in our community. I am an advocate. I think the community at whole is we need to, as a city, to implement and get businesses involved with wellness, get wellness back in the workforce. I started doing that, you know, almost 40 years ago in the early part of my career, getting back into it. Businesses, people are so overworked. It's something that's kind of on the back burner.
Right.
You know, preventative medicine's really challenging because it doesn't make any money, but we need to keep people healthy, and the camaraderie and just how people feel overall in the workforce.
Right.
I would love to see a citywide walking program. I would also think getting the restaurants involved and getting the chefs involved to creating healthy menus and really educating people, you know, about what they're eating, not just making, you know, just options.
Right. Not just because you have a salad.
No. Right. But understanding about the foods that we eat.
I know you and I have talked about having like after work walks, like on Main Street or somehow to get other businesses involved.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it needs to be a priority. I've done a lot of stuff in the last several years with businesses and doing some lunch and learns and they're all, they go over really, really well, the awareness, and their employees are very open to it. But owners of these businesses, the, you know, human resource people need to really see, you know, it's a needed thing. It's really needed.
Right. And I know there's different programs, like you get certain benefits if you get well checks for your, you get discounts on insurance.
Yeah.
And those things work to a degree, but it's not creating the daily movement.
Right. And I think it's the camaraderie within the workforce. And I think you can't take away stress and people's, you know, even like single moms who go home and they have no time. I feel for that because, but if they had that support system in the workforce, I think it would be really great for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A perfect world.
Yeah.
We can try to get there.
Okay.
So thinking about wellness and kind of eating healthy, what first sparked your passion for eating healthy and wellness? Was there a turning point or an aha moment during your life?
You know, it's funny. I was really always in my mom and in my household. My mother was way ahead of her time back in the 70s.
I can see that about
her. Yeah. And we did actually macrobiotics, which was, put it this way, no one traded lunch with me at school in the early years. I was the one with the brown bread, whole wheat bread. But back then, it was no one ate like that. I mean, you just, right. It was just the time, you know? But my mom was always really ahead of her time. And so we always had a really healthy household and a lot of movement, you know? It kind of started, like I said at the very beginning, with my mom hurting her back. So she had to walk every day 4 miles. So I think that it was kind of instilled in me that it was just our norm. It didn't mean that we couldn't have the treats and have fun stuff.
Right.
But at home, she was pretty rigid and strict.
Right.
And so, and it didn't make me want to, you know, go crazy.
Go eat brownies
at
school.
No. Now my three boys, they probably read in everyone's household in the neighborhood. But overall, I mean, you know, it instilled that. And I just knew early on that movement was such a part of my life. I knew what it did for me. I knew how I felt. And I just was so passionate about that. I want other people to feel as good as I feel.
Well, and there's something to it. If you're feeling bad or down and you get out and go sweat and do something movement wise, you can't really feel sad while you're doing that. It's a good thing to do.
It's funny. I'll share a little piece. Yesterday, I was feeling that way. It was Monday. I was very tired. The heat really got to me, and I felt a headache coming on.
Yeah.
I didn't really need to get any more movement because, you know, I move all day long.
Right.
So I was like, oh, man, I think I'm just going to either lie down on the sofa. And this was like around 4:30 in the afternoon, 5 o'clock. Or I'm just going to put on my earbuds and go for a little walk, not a hard walk, but just listen to a podcast. And that's what I chose to do. And I felt like a different person.
Wow.
My headache went away. I wasn't walking hard, but I got outside. So that's a wonderful little tip. And it doesn't have to be long.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Or even here, if you're in an office building, just, you know, go outside for a few minutes, kind of walk.
Yeah, or you guys got a lot of steps in this building.
That's true.
I would be walking up and down those steps.
That's true. But yeah, it's crazy how the mental aspect and physical go hand in hand.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thinking about all these years that you've been involved in wellness and fitness, how has your personal definition of wellness evolved over the years?
You know, I think I've gotten a lot more balance with it. And as I'm aging myself, I realize the importance of it's not one thing that makes a program successful. I feel that I have implemented so much more mobility and flexibility in my routine. I've always been a yoga person, but even taking it to another level, I've implemented so much of that with my clients. Doesn't matter how good a shape I'm in, you know, cardiovascular wise. So there's other so many pieces that make me personally and make a body move properly.
Right.
I think that being consistent with that balance has really made a big, big difference. And I find that most of my clients, I mean, I know they come to me consistently, but they having that round, you know, the full complete program, not just the movement piece, but I'm doing a lot of nutrition now and just helping people. Women are going backwards. They're over-exercising, they're under-eating. And, you know, there's a lot of things up against our industry now with, you know, shots. Easy way out. And I don't go against that. I never tell people to do it or not because I'm not a physician.
Right.
But I will say once you do it the right way and have that sustainability with it, you know, you're just always going to, you can never go wrong eating whole food nutrition and just movement. It doesn't mean that you have to kill yourself in the gym to get the results.
And usually things worth doing, you know, take time, and the shortcuts are usually not the same as doing the full routine.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, everything takes work. I mean, I tell people, look, you take the time to, you know, grown adults do what they want to do. At the end of the day, you're going to do what you're going to want to do. But that's why I'm very realistic and say, you know what? a little goes a long way. If you can make one little change in your habit, and over time, it will become a habit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it does.
A positive habit.
Right. So speaking of habits, how do you keep eating well on the go as a real life habit? Not just what you see on Instagram, but like eating well on the go. So how do you make sure, no matter what's in your schedule, that you can do that?
Look, it's a priority. I don't run out of the house in the morning without thinking about my nutrition for the day. You know, you're not going to start your day without taking your heart medication if you have heart disease, or your, you know, if you have diabetes, you're going to do your insulin shot. Why are you going to leave the house and not even think about your nutrition for the day?
That's a good point.
Because your nutrition fuels you. And I always have food around. Like I mean, I do work in a place where I have a refrigerator and I can make smoothies and, you know, it's easy. But in people, like even if you're in sales and you're in the car, in and out of the car, you have a little cooler and you pack, you know, I definitely prioritize my protein.
Right.
I always think about my hydration. And then fiber, you know, so that's going to, so whether you have like hard-boiled eggs are an easy thing for me. I do, you know, some nuts and seeds, and but I have to watch all that because you, just to have a bag of almonds in your car, it's endless of how many you can eat.
Right.
So you have to be mindful of what you're doing.
Eat the whole thing.
But I do think, you know, fresh fruit. You know, there's so many different things. A lot of times I'll make a smoothie, even in the morning, I'll put it in my Yeti cup. It stays cold. Oh, and I don't think so much like it has to be perfect. Half the time I eat, I could never sell it because of the presentation of it. But it's got protein, it's got good carbs, it's got good fats, it's very well balanced.
Right.
And so I look at things so I'm not having those dips all day long and those cravings.
Right.
Yeah.
I've read different things and listened to podcasts on protein. Like that's the craze now. So how much protein should you have? Some, you know, some say your body weight in pounds.
I mean, that's typically, but it also depends on what your needs are and your age and if, you know, hormonal situation and how much you're in a gym lifting weights. You know, if you're just, you know, there should at least be anywhere from 0.5 to 1.5 grams per body weight, pound of body weight. But it just depends. I mean, you know, me personally, I try to get 100, minimum 100 grams a day, 120 I can easily have because I am very consistent about weight training.
Right.
So it really depends on what your goals are.
Right.
But if once I start doing food logs with clients and they start writing down what they actually are eating in a day, it's shocking to see how little protein and fiber most of my females are getting.
Right. What are some easy ways, like for the person on the go, like things that you can have in your car or protein powders? Like, what do you think?
Well, you know, it's funny. I put protein powder in a little baggie and I will just do it in a shaker. Mm-hmm. It's not ideal. It's not delicious, but it'll give me a good 25 grams of protein.
Right.
And that'll hold me and that, you know, gives me energy and I need it. So, you know, I do chomps. I'll do some, you know, beef sticks or turkey sticks. Like I said, hard-boiled eggs. I mean, I know you got to have, you know, refrigeration. Even just, gosh, I mean, I'm mindful about a lot of packaged foods, you know, processed foods. So even some nut butters with a piece of fruit is a good alternative, you know. It doesn't have to be where you're eating a steak or you're eating a piece of chicken because that gets real old, you know.
Right.
So it's just combinations of stuff.
Right, right. That's great. Those are good tips. Mm-hmm. So thinking about your daily routine, what are a few non-negotiables no matter how busy you get? I know you mentioned hydration.
Yeah, but movement daily. I think that, you know, even a little goes a long way. So if you work in an office and there's a lot of steps, instead of taking the elevator, take some steps. Walk, you know, park further from wherever you're going to get extra steps. You know, it's cumulative. So, you know, it may be where, you know, wake up 5 minutes earlier and just do some breathing exercises and some stretches. There's always little ways you can get it in.
Right.
we have to kind of get away from this mindset. It's like all or none. If I don't have 45 minutes, then it's not worth it, because it is worth it. And if you do sit a lot, you need to be getting up throughout the day, moving in your office.
Right. Just like the standing desks.
Absolutely.
We saw here. So even that, I think, can make a big difference.
I'm seeing a lot of posture issues. Sitting is crushing people. And look, you're talking to someone who moves all day long. So I need to sit down.
Right.
Like I'm looking for a sedentary activity for myself, because I need, and I'm joking about, I'm saying it like it's funny, but my point is, I get it. I don't work in an office where I sit all day, but it's a mindset. You have to get in the right mindset, and it doesn't have to be a lot.
Right.
And then when you do have time on the weekends, you need to take advantage of it. And those might be the days that you can go longer.
Right. And get a little bit more in.
Get a little bit more in.
Right. And the watch, like the Apple Watch, I held off on getting one for so long, but I really love it now, just for several things. But it tells you, you know, you should stand. You've been sitting too long.
And little reminders.
Those little reminders really do make a big difference.
And there's so many things now that we have for trackers.
Yeah.
So I think I tell people, you know, set a goal for yourself. I mean, I don't really know where that 10,000 steps came from, because it's just so random. But I mean, the studies are showing now that 7,000 is like that number of really seeing changes in your health, as far as like, you know, diabetes.
Right.
And regulating blood sugar. And then for cognitive, I just read a study actually a couple of days ago, because it was like, everyone's like, I got to get 10,000. I got to get 10,000. I mean, anything over, as far as fitness, I'm not talking about weight loss. I'm
right.
talking about cardiovascular fitness and just overall preventing disease. 7,000 is kind of that spot.
Right.
Whether you do more. But, you know, for someone who sits all day, that's like, doesn't seem attainable. But if you are realistic and set a goal for yourself, and you just, you know, over time, and it's cumulative, so it doesn't have to be done all day. But I tell you, those trackers are really great, because if you do sit all day and you think, oh, because I have clients say, oh yeah, but I move all day long. I'm like, that's different than being at a gym and intentionally working out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It is.
Yeah.
And then looking at those cumulative numbers, like your average for the last 6 months, that's really telling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So important. So we're talking about all these great tips, and people can get overwhelmed so easily. So how do you present to your clients how to make wellness realistic with people that have full plates, literally and figuratively? Because everyone's busy nowadays.
Yeah, I think that setting realistic expectations for yourself. I think that a lot of people have these wonderful ideas of, or even what they used to could do. And you need to be realistic where you are in your life. If you are a single parent, or if you work full time, or working through an injury.
Right.
There's still, if you're working through an injury, could just be a short-term thing, but you really need to pay more attention to your nutrition, because your movement, you're not going to be able to move as much, you know. So I think setting realistic expectations for yourself and not beat yourself up. So I always go back to a little goes a long way, you know, doing as simple as, like I said, right. you know, instead of parking right by the door of where you're going, park further so you get some more steps.
Right.
You know,
because if you
like
beat
that.
Yourself up for the day, then you've kind of given up on the whole day.
Yeah.
Versus and do the little
You can't
things.
Go backwards.
Right.
Go forward. Today was a really busy day, you know, whatever, whatever. And even if you do get down on a mat and do some breathing exercises and some stretches, you're getting blood flow and you're starting to feel better.
Right. That's so important. What's a wellness myth or misconception that you'd love to debunk?
I would have to say more is always better. That's not true. it's this mentality that's happening now that people feel like if they're not killing themselves, then they're not accomplishing anything. And that's not always the case.
Right.
You know?
And I feel like having so much social media in your face all day, you're comparing yourself. And, you know, if you didn't do that big workout, you don't feel like it's worthy.
Right.
So I think that has a lot to do with it.
And I think it's more important to have sustainability and more of a balance in your program than just being that weekend warrior where you're just like killing yourself on the weekend, you know, because overtraining is not going to get you further. It's just, you know, there's extremes. So look, I've done it. Mm-hmm. I mean, people probably, oh yeah, right, Lori, you're one to talk. I'm just a person that loves to do a lot of different things. So I might, from someone's perspective, might go, well, she's always moving and working out. That's just who I am.
Right.
I'm always going to be moving and working out, but I'm talking about the intensity of what you're doing and having that varied program where you're not going to get injured. Because longevity and wellness is understanding and really knowing what you need and meeting yourself at that stage. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And it changes, like you
said. It changes constantly.
Right. Can you share a time with us when your commitment to wellness helped you through a stressful period?
Yeah. During that time when I was diagnosed with RA, really was very, very hard. Not only physically, because it was, I felt terrible and I couldn't really hardly move.
Right.
Which is shocking because, you know, I think back and I'm like, how did I get through that? And I got through it because I decided, and this goes to anybody who has autoimmune or who has a chronic disease or who, you know, has been in an accident. I mean, it applies to anyone because you're talking about someone who was running marathons before. I mean, right. I had my baby. Jack was 6 weeks old, and then you go and you can't even pick him up. I could not even extend my arm out straight, and I thought I would never be able to do a push-up again. But what I think, not only physically, I knew I had a good base, and I was going to be okay, and I was going to work through it. But I felt like my community and my, you know, my business and just the support from others helped me get through it.
Right.
And so I think that it's really hard when you're going through something challenging and you have to shift or go to plan B with, and you always envision or you know, how you used to move. And I knew I would get through it. And I never let that decision, I never let it define me. You know, I just didn't even, like, RA, that's for old people.
That's right.
So it was shocking to me. But you know what? I shifted. That's when I got my certification to teach mat Pilates.
Really?
Because there's a lot of things I couldn't do. So I pivoted.
Yeah.
And it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me because it really helped me as a trainer and to help others and to be more compassionate in the sense where, like, you know what? You need to slow down. Your body's talking to you, you know? That kind of thing.
And you can still accomplish your goals, but maybe in a different way during that time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a great life skill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So as a final question, if your body could leave you a thank you note, what would it say?
You know, when I got this from you, I was like, I love that question.
I know.
This is really fun. So I'm going to say, dear Lori, thank you for showing up day after day, year after year, with a full purpose and a belief in the power of movement, health, and healing. You have spent 40 years helping others believe in themselves and guiding them towards a better quality of life. Thank you for not giving up, staying curious, excited, and compassionate over ego. Thank you, God, for my gift.
Oh, that's precious.
So I might have to put that in a card and send it to myself.
I think you should. And maybe put it in a frame in your gym.
Yeah, exactly.
What a great question, too, for your clients?
You know what? I just as much as I give a lot, but I receive so much.
Yeah.
And for someone who's been in this field for so long, and I'm very consistent, even been, you know, pretty much only at one or two places, you know, training. But I get so much. I can be in the worst mood, or not that I get in horrible moods, but like I could just come in my gym and be like, ugh. And I'll walk in with the doors and it's like something clicks.
Right.
And the light bulb goes off, and then I realize why I'm doing this.
You're
I'm doing
a helper.
But not just me helping. My people help me so much.
Right.
So I think it's the connection and the camaraderie and the support. And I love to see people challenging themselves, get excited about how they feel. You know, someone who's never thought they could do certain things. And then I love the just the consistency throughout of everything, what a health and fitness journey is all about.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing your experience.
Absolutely.
And it's great. You've helped so many people and will help so many more, I'm sure. So where can we find you if someone wants to learn more about your services and how you can help?
Well, actually, I am moving my gym. I have outgrown my space. I'm over in 3135 Forest Drive right now, but I am redoing a building, moving over on Carlisle Street off of Millwood.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to be doubling our space. And the beauty of what I have now, I have five trainers, and we do so many things. I mean, all stages, all ages. So we work, you know, with small group training, one-on-one, we do a lot of mobility, post-rehab, a lot of really great stuff. We've been able to help all demographics of life. So my Instagram is strong, lowercase, foundation, SC. I'm around.
Awesome.
You can find me.
Very exciting. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.